Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Fresca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Good morning. Welcome to On the Tee Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network and streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com and FloridaSportsStream.com on this May 20th. I'm Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation, teeing it up with John Rieger, PGA of America Golf Pro, and across from me, St. Petersburg's most interesting man, Tom Gribben. And you didn't bring your wing woman with you. You know, the only reason I want you to come down on Saturdays, because you usually have in tow Patty Suzette, our cart girl.
She's up in Panama City on a big art show. You know, she's a pretty prominent artist.
Very, very talented young lady. She's part of our team. Anyway, each and every Saturday, we'll bring you lots of humor. We're going to talk PGA. We've got two PGA, of course, of America golf professionals today. As always, the man with the plan that keeps things rolling, John Rieger. And then we'll bring Mark Egli into the conversation at 11:30 today, and how appropriate on this PGA Championship weekend. And without further delay, as we tee off here in our 19th hole clubhouse studios, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and our good friends at Sea Dogs Brewery, Fred Forsley and Charlie Breakiron and the gang. What's going on, my man?
Hey, welcome, everybody. Good to hear that Tom's in the studio. Too bad Patty's not there, but yes, she is a very accomplished artist. And if you go to OnTheSeaFloridaGolf.com, you'll see our website that's updated. And one of the big breaking news for us at On the Tee Florida, everybody as part of the broadcast knows this, but now we're going to make sure that everybody knows that the Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse is now open with the golf and sports simulators. And they were in action yesterday. Mike, you sent me some action photos of people enjoying it. And we even created a special membership program, an e-membership program that's free. It's for all of our listeners and everybody that visits Ferg's that enjoys golf, enjoys food, enjoys beer, enjoys sports, enjoys having a good time. And we've got a free e-membership. And unfortunately, Mike, you're member number two when we did the sign-up. Member number one happened to be Wild Bill Sturrow, so he jumped on that opportunity. He's member number one. But Tom is member number three, so we've got it rolling here, and we can go online to OnTheTeeFloridaGolf.com, and you can actually sign up right there and become an e-member of On the Tee Florida and the Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse.
Well, we've only just begun, as they say, and we teed it high. I don't know if we let it fly yesterday, but we're certainly heading in the right direction. I was here last night. Of course, we had a ball game, Tampa Bay Rays, Milwaukee Brewers, as I like to say, about a driver away from our clubhouse now. And so we had a nice crowd and a nice litmus test, if you will, a variety of youngsters, oldsters, men, women, all took a crack at it, and I was up there, and we're just relaxing. We let everybody play for free, and the enthusiasm, I've already probably got a 20s and 30s men's league for Monday nights lined up just with the guys that came that are regulars here. They absolutely loved it, so I'm looking forward to it. And I tell you what, even an IT dummy like me, it's very user-friendly, Tom Gribben. Very user-friendly. John, on the other hand, is a absolute guru when it comes to the world of technology. And I tell you what, John, it's a lot easier than I thought. I've got 9 people trained already.
I'm going to go hit a few after the show.
You don't have to. Exactly.
Well, absolutely. You know, one of the things we're going to do when we have our official opening, you know, for the next 2 weeks, the patrons of Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse get to use it for free. That allows us to be able to make sure everybody's having a good time. We know how to use it, know what's going on, get it out there, get it exposed to people. But our opening event is going to be a record-setting event. We're going to set all the records that you can possibly set on a golf simulator. So we'll have records for young and old and blonde and brunette, lefty, righties, and even not their political views, but the way they have hit a golf ball. So we're going to have some fun with that. And you know, and so, Tom, what you got to do is on the simulator, they actually have the automatic one putt. So if you hit it 10 feet close to the hole, you get an automatic putt. So we're going to make it as easy as possible. So, Tom,
I won't even have to practice it anymore.
Yeah. What's that, John?
So Tom gets to be a guinea pig after we get off the air here. I know that he needs to get out there and start working, because we're going to have a course record just for Tom. We'll call that course record the last cowboy or something like that, some along around those lines. Or the lost cowboy, I should say, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I like that.
I'll tell you, the simulator is going to be playing a lot better than the actual Oak Hills today, because every time they strike the ball, a bunch of water comes up.
Oh, my gosh. The 105th PGA, of course, at Oak Hills Country Club in Rochester, New York. Have you ever had the pleasure of taking on that monster, John Rager?
Yeah, it's one of the toughest golf courses that I've ever played, and I can tell you that this weekend, the course conditions keep changing. You know, when they started the tournament on Thursday morning, they had a frost delay, and even 2 weeks ago, it was like 16 degrees in the morning. So they had a frost delay, which prevented them from finishing the first round until Friday. But today, it's going to be rain all day. You know, and while we're talking about weather on that, let's just get our Wild Bill golf and weather report out of the way, and our weather is going to be coming to you from Yank and Crank, extreme fishing fashion. And up there in Rochester, New York, it's going to rain all day long. And it's going to feel like 60 degrees, you know. So, you know, touring professionals, they can play in the extreme heat. They can handle cold very well, too. But when it's cold and it's wet, that's probably the hardest conditions to play in. But the beneficiary of that rain will actually be some of the players who couldn't keep their ball on the fairway. The golf course is so hard and fast where it really shouldn't be. If you're playing this tournament in August like it traditionally had been as the PGA major slot, you would see that the golf course would be a lot softer. So it's running hard and fast. The rough is incredibly deep, and it's hard to keep it in the fairway. So you're going to see a softer golf course today. You'll see some lower numbers. I predict the 66 will go out there. And you also have a club pro who made the cut and is actually in the top 10, which is very, very unusual. So it's going to be a great weekend, but the weather has been the star of the show so far. Now it's going to rain all day, so it's going to be not like a PGA championship. It's going to be more like an open championship from the Bonnie Banks of Scotland.
Yeah. You know, they're squeegeeing the fairways in between shots, brushing the water off. It's crazy. I don't know if I'm going to see 66 today.
I think you're dreaming if you think you're going to see a 66. This is the first time since 2008 that there were only nine players under par, and I think today it's going to even go further south. But right now you got Victor Hovland and Craig Connors, the Canadian, and Scottie Scheffler, world's number two, probably soon to be world's number one after John Rahm's showing. They're all sharing the lead at 5-under. Bryson DeChambeau sits at 3-under, and Brooks Koepka, he's just 3 back. You know, you pretty much, if you're in set within seven strokes, I'd say you're in the hunt, John Rager.
Hey, I'm going to go back to that 66 comment. I want to remind our listeners out there that our show is archived on RadioStPete.com. And so when somebody shoots 66, we get off the air late in the day and somebody shoots 66, I'll be opening up the show next week with a, I was right. Someone's going to shoot 66, and they did. Well, we have it archived. You can tag it. You can mark it. 66 will be shot today by somebody.
Okay. All right.
You know, ESPN has that, and he's comical, Michael Collins, that you said lives in your neck of the woods. We'll have to effort getting Michael Collins on. He was on early this morning, and we've had the growler, Lynn Strickler, one of the top caddies in the world during his day. We've had him come on, and you're well aware of this, John, but for our audience, the toughest duty during today's play will be on the backs and responsibilities of the caddies. And Michael Collins is breaking it down. He said, you know, some of these guys are 7-8 over, and they see the weather conditions like this. They're probably happy to go home. He says the caddies are ecstatic because it's brutal. It's toxic. Taxing, and it wears on you.
Well, it's that time of year too. Again, they years ago, they changed the rotation of the major championships. And so now the rotation of all the major tournaments and things flows where you basically have You start out with the Players Championship in March, and then you have Masters in April, PGA in May, U.S. Open in June, Open Championship in July. Then they start the FedEx Cup playoffs in August, and that's usually then every other year they used to have a Ryder Cup or the President's Cup, this year being the Ryder Cup up in Italy. So, you know, when you start putting that all together, the PGA Championship used to be the last major, and that's where you were deciding who was going to be on the Ryder Cup team. Now it's earlier in the year, so their rotation of golf courses, when they say we're going to have a major championship, well, they've got the PGA Championship scheduled out to like 2028 or something, or maybe even longer now. I bet you it's in the 2030s now, so they can't just make a decision and then change the venue because it gets too cold. So this isn't a result of it. The weather's just not the best for a major championship of this nature. But at the same time, I agree with you. You know, when you're, I remember when I played in a golf tournament one year. It was over in a place called Apopka, Florida. They called it the Zellwood Station. It was like a winter tour event. It's when the PGA Tour was getting cranked up. You had a lot of the tour pros and club pros who play on the winter tour in Florida. And this was a reclaimed phosphate pit, and they had this giant crater right in the middle of the golf course. And I remember that round because it was 45 degrees, no sunlight, and raining. And it was just brutal. And any time, you know, he had golf carts. And so any time, I remember this one guy in my group, you know, he was skating around about even par, and all of a sudden he makes a quad on the big crater hole out there. And so, you know, he had four holes to go, but he realized, you know, he's not going to make much money. He might make $100 or something. He's not going to make anything, even if he pars in. The conditions were so brutal. So he just took his bag off the cart and walked in. And that was happening all over the golf course. If you weren't even going to cash a check, you walked in right off the bat. So a lot of these guys, they don't have the opportunity to walk in, but some of them feel like they should. But yeah, you're right. Who wants to hang around when you're going to finish last and have to beat around Saturday and Sunday and spend more hotel time and less Sea Dog Brewery time, right?
You know, John, it makes for great television, though.
Oh, yes, it does. You know, and speaking of great television, let's go back to that Michael Block story, the PGA of America teaching professional and player. And have you seen some of his interviews? He did an on-course interview. He's like an old pro as far as his handling of the media, and he's quick-witted. I could see maybe a spot in the booth for that cat someday. And Michael Block, I'm impressed with him.
Well, you know, he is from California, and I can tell you that when you're a club pro and you're at a country club or really nice resort, what happens to you? You know, the members can be very difficult sometimes because each member thinks that the world revolves around them.
And Judge Smalls,
yeah, just a little bit. That's right. So what happens is there's a promotion with the PGA of America. It's one badge and many roles, the badge, the PGA of America badge, but many roles. And so not only are you a teacher and a player and a merchandiser, but you're a politician, you're a counselor, you are many different things. And so I'm sure he has good training back home with his club members. So actually getting out there and wearing a mic for network television is probably a break.
Oh, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, and he's embracing it, and I love stories like that. So, as you watch this this 105th, and we see, you know, you've got DeChambeau and you've got Brooks in the top 10, and this morning Zach Johnson, our Ryder Cup captain, my buddy from Iowa, is playing right now, but he's got some tough decisions, and I think this is almost a. An interview in front of Zach to see how these two play, because they're not getting the World Cup points, as we're well aware of, for the Ryder Cup in October. Your opinion on and what he does? I think he'll go ahead and pick Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka for certain. DeChambeau, we'll see how he finishes here, but Zach's got some tough choices to make here.
Well, he does. You know, people make so much out of being a Ryder Cup captain and why you're trying to play on the tour, and now you've been named Ryder Cup captain. They talk about how tough that is. You know, the toughest thing about being a Ryder Cup captain is just picking out what they're going to wear. That's the most brutal decision that Ryder Cup captain needs to make. And you make one mistake there, and you're a laughing stock. I don't know, you remember at Brookline, I think it was 99, with They came out with these shirts that looked like it had a bunch of portraits all those over
were,
them.
Those were hideous. In fact, the Growler was one of the assistant captains for the Caddies, and he had one of those horrible-looking shirts.
I mean, the only redeeming thing about that was Justin Letter, you know, made a bomb on the 16th hole to go one up and eventually beat Jose Maria Olazabal. But Zach does have a tough time because you can't have a personality that you want to please everybody. That just doesn't make it as Ryder Cup captain, because no matter what you do, you're just not going to make the right decision. And 2020 hindsight's anything. But, you know, a couple of years ago when Scotty Scheffler got picked to go on the Ryder Cup, he had not won a PGA Tour event yet, and they're looking at him like, why would you pick that guy? Now you know why. He played really well in the Ryder Cup, and look at the career he's had since then. So Zach's got some tough decisions. Plus, used to be he only had two choices. Now you have at least four choices. And so, yeah, so Zach's looking at performance. He's looking at how people handle adversity. He and the other captain for the Ryder Cup, for the European captain, Luke Donald, they've already been over to Italy several times and looked at the golf course and stuff. They're trying to encourage some of the players to go over there early and play it. That's a long way to go, just play a few practice rounds 6 or 8 months in advance, especially if you don't know you're going to be exactly on the Ryder Cup team or not. But look for a lot of these players to go play the Italian Open before the Ryder Cup when they get over there. But, yes, again, the toughest decision is the clothing decision. It's not that hard to pick players because no matter who you're going to pick, you know, you're not going to pick a dog. You're not going to pick somebody, you know, 200th in the world. But also what's going to be really interesting is that in the European Tour, they decided we're not going to pick any LIV golfers. Well, the Americans have kind of left that open a little bit, and it's going to be interesting to see if a LIV golfer gets selected to be on the Ryder Cup team.
What city in Italy are they playing?
I couldn't tell you. So that's a trivia question that we need to have answered.
Well, you know what? If I hit the lottery, I'll take all three of us, and we've got a built-in tour guide, because Tom Gribben, back in his wild days. Your student days. To look back on those fond days of just having what?
I lived over there a couple of years. I was a tour guide in Florence, Rome. It's nice.
How nice. Now I want to hear the rest of the story off the air sometime. You're going to write another book? Of course, he is the author of The Last Florida Boy. And I tell you what, exciting news coming down the pike there as well, Tom Gribben. I'm sure you're waiting with bated breath on that. But right now, I'm 3/4 through the book, my friend, and I just keep looking around my neighborhood and saying, some of this stuff happened down here.
There's a lot of golf in there, too.
I see that. There's a lot of golf involved. I'll have to get you a copy of the book, John Rager, for your cigar and cocktail up there on Crescent Beach.
Well, you know, it was I have to do my own self-imposed cleanup on aisle 5 there. The course record that Tom will be setting on the Golf and Sports Simulator in the first 19-hole clubhouse will be the last Florida boy division, okay? I think I called it Cowboy, it. The Lost, The Last, whatever. The Last Florida Boy is the book. And I know, Mike, what we'll have to do, since we have our own internal book club here, as soon as you finish reading it, I'm going to read it, and we'll keep passing that book around. And I hear it's quite a hoot.
Hey, you know what? We got to take a break in a minute here, but I'm trying to come up with some catchy names because we're going to do craft cocktails upstairs and submit them to Jake and get our friends at Ice Pick Vodka and Fred Forsley involved. But I just throw this one out before we go to break. I say on the tee, T-E-A, and come up with a little Ice Pick, unique.
Sure.
You like that for the 19th hole clubhouse?
I think we should use the 2-stroke penalty.
I like that too, but I'm thinking...
Patty's working on some names.
Yeah, well, there's got to be some kind of cocktail on the Lost Florida Boy. Have one of these and you're going to be a Lost Florida Boy. Maybe that's just the byline for the name of the cocktail we come up with.
Hey, you know what we're going to do?
And his last name is not Soros. I apologize, Wild Bill, if I offended you. You should have corrected me. I've been calling him Wild Bill Soros for months, and I finally got corrected. By John Rager. You're my editor. You should have done it much earlier. It's Storos, not Soros, correct?
It's actually Storo. Storo. You know, that could be the name of a drink. The Storo. Yeah, it comes with a stirrer.
Okay. Well, we'll take a break on that. We'll come back. We'll be back on the T Florida. on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Tampa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Tampa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
I'm Captain Jeff Figgers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProCure bait super scent, you will be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, Swim Shad, Paddle Tails, Crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Sports Connection Radio Network at On the Tee, Florida on this May 20th. I'm Mike Rickard across from Tom Gribben, St. Petersburg's most interesting man, at least in my opinion, and majority of people that meet you, my friend. And John Rager up there in Crescent Beach, Florida. We're efforting Mark Gegley right now. He's up in the great state of Iowa, where John Rager has finally admitted that that's where civilization began centuries ago. On the Tee, Florida is archived on RadioSt.Pete.com and FloridaSportsStream.com. And, of course, our great affiliates across western and northern Florida, WZHR FM 103.4, WDCM AM 1350, Zephyr Hills. The flagship, WTAM 106.1 FM at AM 1340, Tampa, Clearwater, St. Pete, Lola, of course, Big Ed and Matt up there on the controls, and then WZHR 102.3 FM, AM 1400, Lake City, Gainesville, WGRO AM 1250, and WDSR AM 1340. Well, John, are you going to the beach today, or are you going to be doing what I typically do on a Majors Day, is hunker down and watch the golf?
Well, we have the technology. Every day is a beach day. Set up the cabana, get the tablet out there, get the hotspot going, get the speakers, and, in and out of commercials, play a little Jimmy Buffett there. So, yes, every day is a beach day. You know, it just made me think of something when you said that Tom is the most interesting man in St. Petersburg. Just made me think that, you know, Mike, you've got the most interesting golf swing in St. Petersburg. So I just wanted to add that in there.
Well, I had a couple of young bucks critique it last night. They had a few adult beverages in them, and they just met me. They didn't. I don't think they believed in respecting your elders.
The Charles Barkley of St. Petersburg.
I don't have that hitch in my giddy up like that poor bastard did all those years. He's finally corrected that. However, I have less than zero backswing. Less than zero.
Hey, you know, one of the cool things about it, you know, when we banter about on the radio, but now that we're going to have some opportunity for our members of our e-club, our e-membership club for Ferg's 19th Hole Bar and Grill Clubhouse, you know, since they're gracious enough to be hosting our On the Tee Florida radio studios, we're able to now, you know, we'll have thousands and thousands of members as we initiate this membership program and keep gathering participants and folks interested in our radio show and Ferg's and having fun on the sports and golf simulators. So, you know, we can start having some surveys, Mike, of, you know, we might have to pop a video up on our website on the tfloridagolf.com and put your golf swing up there, and then we can have a little survey about what people think about it. And in the interaction of it, too, is while they're watching that, they could actually submit names of what they think their favorite golf beverage is going to be and invent it right on the fly while they're watching you fly on the simulator.
Great idea.
Very good idea. We'll take participants. Speaking of participants, he's been waiting patiently on hold. He's Mark Egley, a good friend of mine up in Des Moines, Iowa, and the state's foremost teaching professional. And it's great to have two PGA of America pros on today with John Rager and Mark Egley on a PGA of America weekend. And how are you, my friend? How are the weather conditions there? Hopefully better than they are in Rochester, New York today.
It is the perfect Saturday, no rain for the first time in 5 weeks. So it's perfect conditions here in Iowa.
Perfect conditions for the Des Moines driving range, and I'm sure you'll be jam-packed all day. You know, you've been to many PGA events, and, you know, you look at these weather conditions. How many times have you had the opportunity to play Oak Hills yourself? John had and said it's a brutal enough track as it is, but given these weather conditions, I don't see us seeing too many scores under par today.
I've never stepped foot on the property, but I was reviewing the scores this morning, and one guy made a birdie and is under par, and the rest of the field is even or over par. That's already out there, so the weather must be getting them pretty good.
John Rager has predicted there will be a 66 today out of this field, and I think he might be dipping into the ice pick vodka up on Crescent Beach a little early in the morning in a Bloody Mary with that prediction. But say hello to John, Mark.
Good morning, John. And, you know, we got that PGA rule. We don't criticize fellow PGA professionals, but somebody shoots 66. I'll send you a beverage down.
Hey, I'll tell you what we do, Mark. I was just telling Tom and Mike that we do archive the show, and when somebody shoots 66 today, we'll all be I'll be doing the na 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 song next week as the opening to the On the Tee Florida radio show. But more importantly, you have to realize that the scores this morning, they're just like Mike Rickard. They're the morning hacks. Okay, the morning hacks are out there. They're not going to play that well. Yeah, you know, the cream of the crop comes in the afternoon, which reminds me of a question I really wanted to ask you. How's the corn crop this year in Iowa? What's going to happen? What are we projecting in the fall?
What the hell? Kind of question is, of course, Mark's driving range back in the day was pretty much out in farmland. Am I right,
Mark? Field of dreams.
Yeah, it is the field of dreams. Dreams that I could actually hit the ball. And I will tell you this, Mark Egley, in all the years I've known him, he never took on the task, or I didn't want to embarrass myself. I went out and hit balls in this place often. But, Mark, I never had you examine my swing because it was hopeless.
I didn't want to have that first failure.
Hey, Mark, I remember one year I was flying in for the Waterloo Open. I don't know if you've ever played in that. I'm sure you have. But I was flying in for that one year, and I got a delay at the airport. I'm on this, like, two-engine prop plane, you know, we're flying in. And we had to circle the airport for 45 minutes. And I was like, you know, what the heck's going on down there? And so I asked the pilot, so what are we doing? Why are we circling? He says, well, they're harvesting the corn right now. The runways are closed until they finish the harvest. They had to cross the runway a couple times to get that harvester in and out of the corn crop there. So I'm like, wow, where the heck am I? I truly am in Iowa.
You're the home of John Deere. Are you kidding me? That's the headquarters, brother.
Amen. One of the most successful companies in the history of the world. And they get more for one of those tractors than we do for a good set of clubs. So I understand why they're doing so well in business.
So let's talk business. You know, there's a great story about Michael Block. He's right now tied for 10th and made the cut. And I think he's at even, isn't he, John Rager? I think he's at even par today as he starts today. But John Rager's brought that up, that Michael Block's one of your guys' fraternity. You know, he's a club pro. He's working his tail off, taking care of the members. And, you know, you don't have a whole lot of time to practice, but he's been playing outstanding. And he's a character himself.
Yeah, he's really nice, tall, handsome guy from California, fits the California build. And he's like 6'3 and 210. He's strong. And he's a friend of Sean and mine. And I think he's a fabulous player. And there's no reason that he won't have an incredible weekend, because he's just one of those guys. He plays a lot. He plays a lot very, very well. And I don't know who's caddying for him this week, but he's had his son on his bag in the past. And he's just a really, really good guy. So I think that he will do phenomenal this weekend. I'm not going to predict he's going to shoot 66, because I don't go out on limbs like somebody here on the show with us today.
That's because you're not crazy. We're not going to hear that na-na-na song next week.
No.
66. There'll be guys closer to 99 than 66.
There's a screen right over Mike's head. I can see it. I can watch it as it's going on. And out of the rough, it looks like they're hitting out of big sponges of water.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a long day.
So I got to ask both of you guys, does anybody recall the highest that a club pro has finished in the PGA Championship? And you guys, and they still get the same amount of money, right? Divvied up. Yep. It's not like the amateur status.
In the last 50 years, I know a guy named Denny Lyons finished second. And Denny was about 5'4", 5'5", smooth swinging guy. And he'll go down for a long time as being the greatest finisher there. And before that, you know, in Iowa, we had a great pro named Joe Brown. And Joe Brown, and there's a pro there from the old days at this club named Claude Harmon. And he might have won a Masters, but back in the day, like 75 years ago, 80 years ago, these guys worked at the shop, and then they went out and played the U.S. Open, the PGA, and the Masters and everything. And so if you go back more than 50 years, one of those guys that's won the PGA has been a club professional, but that's only because the guys didn't make enough as being PGA Tour players not to have a club job. So things have transitioned from the last century, early century, to, you know, the year 2023. So there's a kid named Ben Kern that played real well down at Belle Reve in St. Louis. He probably finished top 50, but Michael Block has a chance to put a number on the board this weekend and become the best in a long time for us.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, you know, talk about club pros. Jay Overton, who's a local club pro for a number of years, he's down at Dominican Republic now. But Jay was the director of golf at Innisbrook over just in Tarpon Springs, Florida. And Jay used to work with quite a few young tour players at the time. He not only was he a great businessman and literally ran the resort, but he also was a great teacher and a great player. And so much of a good player one day that some of his students, some of the young guys on the tour, like John Houston at the time, you know, were kind of razzing him about his playing ability. So Jay Overton went to tour school and qualified, okay, as a club pro, went to tour school, qualified, got his tour card. And that year, and you're only allowed to play like 12 events until you're deemed as a PGA Tour professional. And you lose your status as a club pro in the PGA of America. So he played up to 12. And this is like, you know, by the time the Western Open was going on at the time, like in July, and he quit the tour. And everybody's asking him, what in the world? Because he was actually making enough money, he probably could have retained his tour card and his playing privileges. He goes, you know, I'm just going to stop now because I don't want to take a pay cut. You know, that's how well he was doing at Innisbrook. You know, he not only did he own all the shop and the merchandise, he owned a shirt company and God knows what else he owned out there, but that was going to be a pay cut for him after he got to be about $250,000 in the prize money he decided, no, I don't want to take a pay cut. I'm quitting now. He just wanted to prove a point. So that was Jay Overton, and his best finish, PGA Championship, 1988. He tied for 17th.
Yep. Jay had a type A personality, and it was a great type A personality because he made everything around him better.
Well, I remember I played in a tournament one year in, just outside Tampa, and obviously as a young pro, he was one of the, even he wasn't that much older than I was, but he was always looked up to, but he was very difficult. He made Ben Hogan look like Rodney Dangerfield. That's how his personality was. He was just so tight and stoic a lot of the times until he got to know you. So I went out and shot 63, set the course record, and now he would talk to me, which was kind of fascinating. But Jay would always wear these sweaters in the middle of the summer. He'd wear a half sweater kind of thing because he had a bad back. And he wore these glasses that, change, with the sunlight coming in and out. And all of his staff would do the same thing. So it'd be middle of July, you go over to Innsbruck, play in a tournament, and there's his staff. They're all wearing the half sweaters. They're all wearing the same type of glasses. And so we always used to kid Jay that his weekly training session with his young pros was the Be Like Me sessions every week. So hats off to Jay, and he's doing great down in the Dominican and everything. But, yeah, he was one of the great characters of golf, kind of a hybrid between a club pro and a tour pro.
Hey, guys, let's talk about the guys who are going to win this tournament this week.
All right, who's going to win?
I don't know. I like most of the guys at the top. There's only one LIV player that I really appreciate, and the one that's at the highest, he's the one that makes me uneasy a little bit. But
DeChambeau?
Yeah, that might be him. And the other guy, I'm pretty sure the other guy would still love to be back on tour if he wasn't worried about his injuries and he took the money because of that.
Brooks
he played
Koepka.
Well at the Masters. He played well at the Masters also, and I think he's like, God, I wish I was back here. I wish I was back home. And it's just an interesting week. There's a lot of quality names up at the top of this list, and there's a few people I've really never heard of before. So, the European players and people from some of the other countries. But, you were talking about somebody shooting a big score. Back when I first started seeing and being around U.S. Opens and PGA Championships, the rough was so much more penal. You got around the green, you were playing in hay, and somebody was going to shoot 84, 85, 89, 93. That doesn't happen anymore because the players have got a little bit of control over the outrageous conditions the course could be on. And it's just one of those things. I don't think you're going to see anything ridiculously high today, Mike. But it's fun to turn into a major championship where there's weather challenges and the toughness of the golf course challenges. They're all in one.
Yeah, great TV.
It's riveting television. And earlier in the conversation, I told John Rager, and you're very close to Zach Johnson, of course, Drake University Bulldog graduate, practiced under your tutelage at your range for most of his college career. And he's got, he's out on the course right now, but he's got quite a challenge. And I think two of those names, definitely from LIV, I think that Zach will end up picking Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson. That's my early analysis of who will take to Italy with him. But I think they're playing the best. DeChambeau hasn't played great of late, and he's playing well. We'll see what happens today. But I think that Zach definitely will have two LIV guys on his team, Mark.
Well, I haven't given any thought on that because I personally thought it wasn't a possibility. And I think that he will probably think that he has enough PGA Tour players at the pinnacle of their games that could, as much as I like Brooks, I don't know if it's going to be an option this year. What do you think, John?
Well, breaking news, everybody. Thomas Peters, after eight hole, is minus three for today. He's not even halfway through, and he's already minus three. Just wanted to add that in there.
Boy, did you get off the hook of a tough question?
Well, you know
Tell
what,
me, John?
Singing the song.
John, what do you think about a Ryder Cup player that's on the LIV Tour playing for the U.S. or for Great Britain?
Well, you know, I don't think they're able to play for Europe now. I think I think they've nixed that over there. I'm not quite sure if it's nixed here or not, but it has been interesting where, at the Masters, the LIV Golf PGA Tour thing kind of went away, and they had a great tournament, but it kind of brought itself back up here in the controversy, and I'm not quite sure if we're going to have, if they would do that. I would imagine they wouldn't pick a LIV golfer at this particular point, because you're right. I think it's deep enough on the PGA Tour that you're going to get a quality player. You know, it's kind of a shame because you might have a Brooks Koepka left off the list where, you know, he truly could be one of those players that would do it. But how earlier in the week, Jim Nance even gave a shot out there to the LIV golfers when he mentioned that, hey, Dustin Johnson won last week. You guys may have not seen that, but he won. He was referring to the lousy ratings that LIV Golf has on the CW network. But, yeah, to answer your question, Mark, I believe that he probably wouldn't. He could. He might. You never know. But I don't think he will. I think there's enough quality players on the tour. You can go down the list and fill the team up.
Yeah. A year ago this week, I had a lot of insight from knowledgeable people. And did you know we lost our captain for Europe because of LIV Golf?
That's right.
Heinrich Stenson is out. And Luke Donald, a good Northwestern University PGA Tour player, is in.
Former Wildcat, yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting year in golf. And switching subjects a little bit, did you hear about the problem with bees down there at the PGA?
No, I didn't, but I like that. I like unusual factoids.
I saw something online where, you know, he had like a volunteer or something went down where the bees were chasing him, but I didn't really hear much about that. So
no,
your ears are real. What's the scoop on that?
Well, from my sources, that Zach was playing the fifth hole on one side of the fairway, came back up to sixth, and he had to hit a shot from where there was a swarm of hornets. And so I figured that might be one of the subjects of conversation, but maybe it didn't come out in the public. Like, what do you do? When, John, you know the rules, but what do you do when you have a dangerous situation, whether it's snakes, alligators, crocodiles in some other country, or a threat to harm? How are the rules of golf affected in those situations?
Well, let's ask the last Florida boy. He should know. What do you think, Tom?
What's the question?
What do we do when we have a dangerous situation because of animals, crocodiles, snakes,
bees,
or bees in this situation? What do we do when a player's ball lies within a section that this situation, it was a swarm of bees? Maybe
I would call for the cart girl.
Yeah. By the way, Mark Egli, Tom Gribben is also, say hello to Tom Gribben. He's St. Petersburg's most interesting man, but he has a law degree. So I think that's why John brought him in for his perspective. I think we need to bring Zoo Tampa into it with a PGA professional.
Yeah.
Well, if I got my lawyer.
Exactly.
Well, you know, Tom, I think you're right. You do bring the beverage cart girl in, because what you do is you go ahead and you prescribe a Moscow Mule with a couple scoops of honey in it, and you're good to go. Hit it fast and run.
Yeah, rub it on the bee sting and drink the rest.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what the relief is, but I know that you don't ever have to hit a golf shot where your life's in peril. And I don't know, nearest point of relief, the avoidance. I mean, this is one, well, like drops. I don't know. Phil Mickelson took a drop, and then the PGA official stepped in and said, hold on. I don't think you're taking the right drop here. And Mickelson disagreed. They brought another official in, And he also agreed that he was in the process of taking a correctable wrong drop. And this is one that I'd like to be standing there with a PGA official telling me what to do. And I just know, and John, you know as well, we don't have to hit a shot if there's peril in line here. You get relief.
No, you really don't. And, you know, it's really interesting, too, and you bring this up, and it's a very good conversation here because, well, how far relief should you get? I mean, it's something that for me, you know, being down in Florida, you know, if there's a gator, how far away is safe from a gator? You know, there's a book out there. It's called The Survival Guide, How to Survive Anything, and there's one called How to Survive on a Golf Course, and they do mention that in that guide. You know, when your golf ball lands near a gator, you know, you do get free relief, but the problem is how far is relief? I mean, for me, I want to be at least 50 yards away because a gator can run pretty fast. In fact, I'd like to be 100 yards away for me to be safe. But at the same time, you know, I don't know how a rules official would come up and go, hey, okay, there's a gator there. We'll just go ahead and drop it over here, you know, in the gator.
They're not going to give you 50 yards, John.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But for me, I identify as a fighting person of gators, so I need to be 100 yards away.
I want to ask you this, John Rager, and this will be interesting for you, Mark Egli. There's a course over in Tampa, and I know that Barry Smith and Randy Grimes are two buddies, former Tampa Bay Buccaneers, were golfing it, and it's known for having huge gators out there all the time. And I can't think of the track. Do you know what it is, John?
Well, that would probably be Tampa Palms. It's surrounded by swampland.
Tampa Palms. These guys were golfing about 3 months ago, and they got these great pictures of these monsters on the fairway, and I thought, why in the hell are you that close to take those pictures? Barry, of course, had the foursome play around him, kept playing, and I thought, oh my God, I don't want to be anywhere around those things. In fact, I'd be a hole away from the site. These are 13-foot gators.
But I don't think, maybe John can correct me, I don't think there's a documented case of someone being attacked on the golf course by a gator.
Well, I wouldn't want to be the first one.
Nah, they're sunning themselves.
they're sunning themselves. You don't have these conversations up there in Iowa by any stretch of the imagination. I've seen a couple of rabid raccoons on the course. That's about as crazy as I've seen, Mark Egli.
Well, I'm going to go with the story. When I lived in Orlando, there was a lady that was walking her French poodle by the water, and by the time she got home, all she had was a leash. Because a gator came out of the water and took little Frenchie, and that scared people for a long, long time. And that wasn't a secondhand story. That was our neighborhood story. People stayed away from the ponds a little more after Frenchie's poor conclusion.
Well, I know you're busy on a Saturday, especially a beautiful Saturday up there in Iowa. People like to get their golf in on these non-rainy days. As always, it's great to have a conversation with you. You were at the forefront of the PGA Tour, and of course, I was foremost teaching professional. I appreciate your friendship and always coming on when I ask you to, Mark Egli.
Oh, you're welcome. And one of these days soon, we'll update everybody on the medical miracles we're pulling off for our generation and future generation. Going really well.
I'll be calling you this week to get an update on that.
Okay. Sounds great. All right.
It's Mark Egli, and he's kind enough. Des Moines Driving Range, you name it, he has done it. He's in the Hall of Fame in the state of Iowa for the IPGA. And I know, John, you enjoy conversations with your fellow brethren. They sharing, swapping stories. But I'm going to be watching with bated breath to see this club pro from California and his success the rest of the weekend. It's going to be kind of cool.
Thanks for including.
Well, it's always fun to watch the PGA Championship as a PGA golf professional because obviously it's our association's championship. You know, we own it, we run it. There's a great history, and one of the unique things about it, the reason why there is a club pro in there is they take top 20 club professionals from the earlier championship called the Professional Championship of the PGA, which is all the club pros playing. They take those top 20 and they get to play in the PGA Championship. and usually it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Now, Michael Block is, you know, obviously he was Player of the Year, and he's one of the top out there. And so one of the things you do when you go to the app, if you download the PGA Championship app, you'll be able to cover all the, you know, keep up with all the scores and things like that. But what they do in the leaderboard, no matter where you live, up will pop right in the middle of the leaderboard, a local PGA golf professional that gives golf lessons that you can take lessons from. It's pretty cool. So I've had some friends out there. It's funny, in certain parts of the world, all of a sudden their picture pops up right in the middle of the leaderboard. Not that they're in the leaderboard, but the fact that they appeared on the leaderboard and they're taking their screenshots pretty fast. But anyway, so for our listeners out there, if you want to watch the PGA Championship, not only on television, you can download the app and you can have a lot of fun with the facts and figures and the leaderboard and the fantasy golf that they have.
I think our good friend Mark Egli has his phone in his pocket. And
No, I'm out here listening to what you're talking about.
I didn't know you were listening. Yeah,
I'm watching this.
Stay in the conversation. We won't say anything bad about you, I promise.
Okay.
All right. I was wondering. I thought maybe it was the wind down here. Tom Gribb and I are looking at the microphones. We're thinking, man, that breeze, it's a little loud. That's technology. That's from the great state of Iowa. Well, what's your plans for the rest of the weekend, John Rager?
Well, just since we're wrapping up the show here, I just want to mention everybody the John Rager Report. When you go to Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter, I try to post several times during the week something of interest out there that you normally wouldn't see in the normal golf media that you can look at, link at, have some fun with. And then obviously some of these things we try to talk about on the weekend. So the John Rager Report. If you go to onthetfloridagolf.com, and the breaking news again right at the beginning of the show was talking about the Ferg's 19th hole clubhouse, where we have sports and golf simulators set up, not only just for golf, but you can play football and baseball and basketball and hockey and soccer on these simulators. So it's a lot of fun, and we've created this e-membership out there. It's free. onthetfloridagolf.com. You just go to that website and you register. You're a free e-member. It makes you eligible to get our monthly newsletter. We're going to throw some free golf and sports tips out there. Plus, we've got free race tickets, free rowdy tickets, sports merchandise, a lot of stuff out there to give away, a monthly drawing to our members. And more importantly, it's all about having fun at Ferg's and come on down and use these simulators. It's free for 2 weeks. And our broadcast studio is right there. And so hopefully as we keep doing these broadcasts from Ferg's 19th hole clubhouse, and we'll hear a lot of shots hit into the simulator, and maybe Tom Gribbins, when you get off the show this afternoon, maybe you could be the very first one to make a hole-in-one on our new simulators there. So we're excited about it. Go visit onthetfloridagolf.com. Register for your free e-membership and come on down, use the simulators, and don't forget to enjoy great hospitality, and don't forget to tip your servers.
We got to wind her up, fellas. So from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, I'm Mike Rickard. For John Rager, Tom Gribben, Mark Egli, Joe Bedrone, Matt on the controls. Thanks for listening on the Tee, Florida. Stay tuned for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. And as always, God bless you. God bless America. And remember, keep it in the short grass and hit them straight.